As most of you guys know, my language is video. Everything you've been a part of from youth has been video. And man, it was so cool. Like last week, I spent a whole day in the office going through all of your old videos and just looking for you guys. And man, it was such a cool moment to think back to all the memories that we have, that we share. Funny ones, serious ones, ones that made me laugh. And if I'm honest, when I was doing the video, there were definitely some tears shed. Because as you see the faces and the places, there's something that goes on your heart, right? Like you feel it, you remember it, you go back there. And I just want to say that I'm so thankful to you guys for every one of those memories. Man, every one of you has affected me in some way. And I've told Katie many times that I feel like when I'm an old man, I'm going to sit on my rocker one day and just watch old videos. And I will have all of you guys, your faces, what we did, what mission we accomplished, and how you guys really changed the world. So I just want to thank you guys for that. We get to these moments where it's graduation service, and I'm always kind of hesitant to what exactly am I going to say to you. Some of you, I've been your youth pastor for 7 years, and I've said a whole lot of stuff. And you probably haven't remembered hardly any of it, but hopefully you remembered some of it. But it's kind of that, what do I say here? And I guess the real thought is, what do I leave you with? I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And I want to read a text, and then I want to try to answer that question, what do I leave you with? Here's the text that I want to read. It's Mark 1, 14 through 15. And here's what it says. It says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So as we think about, okay, what do I leave you with? What's kind of my final thing that I want to say to each one of you guys? Well, as you know, I presented each of you with a journal, and I wrote a note in the journal. And what I found myself saying at the end of every single note was these words, that I hope when you leave the youth group, you know one thing. That Christ is God and King, and that living for Him is the only life worth living. And that's really what I want to leave you with, that thought, that Christ, He is God and King, and the only life worth living is living for Him. That's what I want to leave you with. And as we read that text, here's what I want you to think about, that there really are two kingdoms on this planet. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of Christ. And at every crossroads in your life, at every decision, you pick between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of this world. And I think right now is one of those crossroads where it's very evident. It is black and white. Either you will choose the kingdom of Christ, or you will choose the kingdom of this world. And the two are very different. The two are very distinct. And your choice will be simple as you navigate from youth group, and you navigate from your parents' authority in many ways. Some of you are going to college. Some of you are getting jobs. Some of you might decide to go into the military. You have all these different roles. Some of you are getting married, and there's a lot of exciting things that are happening. And for a big way, you're leaving your mom and dad, and you're leaving the youth group. And in a big way, you're starting your life. You're going to start making your own decisions where you make choices without your parents leading and guiding those decisions. And this is a point where you're really going to be able to decide, okay, am I going to follow Jesus as my King and God? Am I going to live my life for Him? Or am I going to live my life for myself? And am I going to live my life for my own glory? So this is kind of the crossroads that you're at. And I want to just kind of talk through you just a little bit on how that's going to go. And I attended all of your graduation services. And the messages kind of started to run together. I mean, when we get graduation, it's kind of this bubble where you guys really feel like you can tackle the world, right? Like everybody's told you, man, everything is at your disposal. You're unlimited in what you can do. Be all you can be. Dream big dreams. And what I heard over and over was, do what you love. Find that one thing that you love and do it so that you won't have to work a day in your life, but you'll just enjoy it and it'll be exciting and everything's going to go amazing. And as you kind of began to put it together, what I started to hear was, man, if you just get the right job, if you get the right spouse, if you get the right life, that's where happiness is. That's where you're going to succeed. That's where everything is going to be just joy for you. So if you fulfill your dream, then you'll be happy. And as I began to hear those things, what I remembered is that's not where Jesus told us to seek happiness and satisfaction in. He didn't tell us, hey, to find what you love and do it, because in that is what you're going to find satisfaction. No, he tells us to find satisfaction in him and to find satisfaction in his kingdom. So I feel like over the last weeks, you've kind of been in a bubble. And what I want to do is kind of burst that bubble just a little bit. And not to send you like into a spiraling depression, but I just want to get some reality mixed in with all of the hype. And I've just got a few small points I want to make, and some of them are humorous, so don't take them literally for all the points. But I do want to say some things to kind of curve some of those high expectations for what's going to happen in this next journey in your life. The first thing I want to say to you, and this is kind of reality coming from an older brother. Okay, I'm your older brother right now. I'm speaking to you as an older brother who's been where you're going. He just wants to speak some wisdom into your life. And here's the first thing that I want to say to you. Most of you will work a job that you don't love. Now, I know you've been told this whole graduation process. Here is your mission. Find what you love and go do it. But the truth is, most of you, at least at some point in your life, are going to work a job you don't love. There's a reason your parents get paid to go to work. There's a reason they get paid. Because work is not always fun. And if you have this expectation that work is about fun and my personal happiness, then you're going to spend 10 years trying to find that. And it's probably not out there. Because if you have a place you like to go and you don't have to get paid to go there, that's called vacation. That's called your hobby. You go to work because you get paid. So most of you are going to work a job that you're not going to love. So, man, it's kind of, I know it's kind of crushing. I can feel the air kind of going out of this place. Like I've been told that I'm just going to be happy. It's going to be all great all my life with my work. And the truth is, your work is probably going to be hard. It's probably going to be monotonous, and it's probably mostly going to be non-glorious. Can we just have some people who are employed that would kind of agree to that? That's what work kind of is. You get paid for a reason. It's not always this amazing thing. So why work? I mean, why work? If it's not the ticket to your ultimate satisfaction, if it's not that thing that's going to make you ultimately happy, why even do it? Well, you work for the glory of God. You work to provide for a family. You work to change a community. You work to build the kingdom of God on earth. Here's what I'll say about your work. Your work is not about just your personal fulfillment or happiness. Your work is about other people. Your work is about the people you're working with so that you can influence them, so that you can reach them for the kingdom of Christ. And your work is about those little ones that God might bless you with. And you're working hard to provide for them. So sometimes you're not going to love what you do, but do it. Not for your personal fulfillment, but do it for the glory of God because you're in His kingdom. Here's another kind of bubble burster. Your potential is limited. You've probably never been told that. You've been told your potential is unlimited. You can do whatever you want. The sky is the limit. And that's probably not true. Your potential is actually limited. You know why? Because God created you with certain gifts and certain talents. He didn't create us all the same. He created us all different. So what your responsibility is to not chase that slogan, be whatever you want to be. No, you should chase, what does God want me to pursue? How has God designed me? What are my gifts? What are my talents? Some of you could never stand on stage like Jordan does and sing. I know my potential is limited in that area. I don't need to try to be a singer. It would not go well. And some of you, you've tried things that you're not good at. Maybe that's not where God wants you to be in life. So your task is not to think of, man, what's just anything I can chase, but what am I good at? What are my talents? What if people nodded at me and say, hey, yeah, you could do that. And find how God has gifted you uniquely and use those gifts to fall in line in His kingdom and do something with those gifts, because God has created you with those specific gifts for a reason. And as a big brother, the next thing I want to say to you is just simply grow up. This is the time in your life where it really is time to grow up. Interacting with college students, as I was in college, there's this cultural norm where the college years are the new high school years. And you spend the next 4 years just goofing off, playing video games, going to class, but you don't have a vision of what you're going to do. You don't have a vision of how does God want to use me? How am I going to plant in and work and do something and be somebody and change the community and change the world? It's, man, you've got another 4 years just to do whatever you want. And you begin to talk to people in college. Hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. I'll probably just take master's classes because I don't want to get in the real world. And then when you get master's class, I'll probably just get my PhD because I don't want to get in the real world. And it's this perpetual putting off growing up. And what I want to say to you is, this is time to grow up. You are in the real world right now. And what God wants you to do is start participating in the real world. Stop ignoring responsibility, but start grabbing hold of responsibility. Especially guys, if at this point in your life when you get in college, you have time to play video games, it's time to get a job. It's time to get a part-time job and start making money and start putting some money back so when you get the family, you can have some money to do something. So this is time for you not to take the next 4 years and just put it in cruise control. And these are years that are going to shape and form the rest of your life. So charge into them. Refuse to be like everyone else in your dorm room, because I promise that's the norm. Man, grow up. It's time to grab hold of responsibility, because you're in a kingdom and the goal is to change the world and proclaim the glory of God. And the next kind of bubble burster that I want to say to you is your dreams aren't big enough. They're not. I know you've been told, man, just dream it. Just come up with a dream and chase it. Just go for it. But what I want to say to you is your dream in your head is not big enough. It's just not. Because when you make your dreams for yourself, they're all about you and your little kingdom. And guess what? That dream's only going to last maybe 80 years. And then it's going to be gone. Your life's like a vapor. It's very short. So you know what Christ is telling you in this text? Is not, hey, chase your dream. But instead he's saying, put that dream on hold. And how about you come into the kingdom? Because I have something much greater. I have a part for you to play in my eternal kingdom. And guess what? His eternal kingdom never ends. His eternal kingdom goes on forever. So don't go into these next years thinking, what is my dream? And how can I fulfill my dream? How can I build my kingdom? But instead, ask, what does Christ want me to do? What's His dream for my life? How can I be a part of His kingdom so that I don't get glory, but He gets glory? So it's not my kingdom that's being built, but it's His kingdom that is being built. So as I thought about over and over, what should I tell you? What should I leave you with? You know, I kept coming back to, you know, with graduation and all these things, really we get distracted into thinking life is all about us. It's about our dreams and what we want to do. And graduation is one of those moments where we really zero in on that. And I shared this text with you so you could hear what Jesus is saying here. Did you hear what he said? He says, the time is fulfilled. And what he's saying is that from Genesis all the way through the Bible, there's been this promise that even though the fall has happened, there's a coming king and a coming kingdom that is going to be here. And then Jesus walks onto the scene and he says, hey, the time is fulfilled. In other words, the king is here and the kingdom is here. And then he gives you a message. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand, which means the kingdom of God has come, it is coming, and it is still to come in the future. So the kingdom of God is right now on planet Earth, and it is building. It's gaining momentum, and it's going to come in its fullness in the future. That's the kingdom of Christ. So what does he say? He says, in light of that, he says, repent. That's a great encouragement at graduation, right? Here's what you need to do. You need to repent. But that's not just for salvation. It's all the time. Because we get distracted to think this life's about us and it's about what we want and it's about our dreams. Saying, no, no, no. No, you turn from you. You turn from your kingdom. You turn from what you ultimately want from your life. You turn from that, and then what does he say? Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ truly is God and King, that he died in your place for your sins to reconcile you back to God, so that you would not live 80 years for yourself, but you would live a billion years for him in his eternal kingdom. So what I want to leave you with is there is so much more beyond just yourself. And I know graduation is one of those times where we get very narcissistic and we look at ourselves, what we're going to do and our plans. And I just want you to back up and don't get consumed with what you're going to do with your life, but get consumed with how is God going to use your life to ultimately magnify his name and bring glory to him. So as I was thinking through, man, what do I leave you with? What's the final say as I look at you graduates? And it's the exact same thing that I wrote to you. Here's what I hope that you've left this youth group believing, and you want to live for that truth, that Jesus is God and King. And the only life worth living is the life lived for him and his kingdom. I want to pray over you guys for a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you so much for every single one of these graduates. God, you know how much I love the class of 2013. You know how much I've prayed for them and how many hours I've labored with them and over them and for them. And God, it's bittersweet at this moment to say they're graduating, to say it's time for them to leave. But God, I thank you so much for allowing me to play just a small part in their life. And God, I thank you so much for just their lives and for what you're going to do and how you're going to use them for your honor and your glory. So God, I thank you so much for all of these graduates. I thank you for their parents and their family, their grandparents, their extended family, their brothers, their cousins, all their friends, and this body of Christ who has come alongside them, who's nurtured them in the way of the Lord. And I pray that every single graduate, all 27 of them, would walk out of here not living for their own kingdom, but living for the kingdom of Christ. I pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.